That said, I am going to, we do have a form, it looks like, and then we're going to call the order of the executive committee of the Association of Governments for Monday, April 29th, 2024, 4:30, and they see that conference room here. Roll call.
City Congelo?
Here.
City of Palm Springs?
Here.
City of India?
Here.
29 Palms Bath of Mission Indian. 4 Martinez of Ecolia Indian. Tazal Bath of Ecolia Indian?
Here.
Oka Vanda Bath of Ecolia Indian. City of Indian Wells? City of Cathedral City?
Here.
City of Palm Desert?
Here.
City of Pinta?
Present.
City of Fly?
Here.
Here.
County of Riverside District 4?
Here.
County of Riverside District 5? City of Grand Mirage?
Here.
City of Desert Hot Spring?
Present.
And City of Indian Wells.
Indian Wells is here.
Chair, we have a form.
Thank you very much. Today I wanted to take a moment to remember somebody who was really active in our community and in our lives here, especially at CBAG. He was a very good friend of our county supervisor and a good friend to a lot of us. So I was elected in 2007. One of the first people I met in politics was Ryan Stanton. And obviously he passed way too early. But wanted to take a moment to talk about how he impacted CBAG, and I'm going to give it over to the county supervisor to say a few words.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and colleagues. I think that one of the reasons why I enjoy and love CBAG is because of the folks that are here around this table and all our leadership. They represent our cities. And the reason why that's the case is because of the fact that we've learned to get along. We've learned to have open dialogue and to agree to disagree. And we move on. We figure out ways as to how we can work together, perform, take action, and gain wins. I think of Brian the same way. Brian was a giant, if you think about it, among us. I mean, I think that Brian would be considered, I see him as a son of the Coachella Valley. He led the way on so many different avenues and so many different fronts. And he never lost his cool. It was always even keel. It was always tempered. And I appreciate the fact that over the course of years, how we became the closest of friends. It's been a little bit over a month now since he's passed. And I don't think there's a day that goes what I don't think about it. As a matter of fact, I have a candle lit in my home with his picture. And it's lit up every single day. He had a major impact on me and my staff, and indirectly on all of us, perhaps. He would come here and talk about the Salton Sea. He would advocate for us in D.C. or in Sacramento, and many times we didn't even know him. In his heart, he was also a teacher, a professor. He always would recommend books to me to read. And we would discuss about how one day, potentially, we will teach a course together at UC Riverside. he began putting the syllabus together. We just never got that far. It was taken, I would say, a little too early for us. Yes, so many other things he wanted to do. And so, I guess, I say all these words to let you all know that obviously Brian was a mentor, an ally, a good friend. He used to say buddy boy. But there's a little bit of Brian in all of us. And when times get tough and we beat each other up, let go of that bad energy and move on. Better than that. That's why other folks look at us as a model. He obviously is survived by Gina and his kids. But with that said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your indulgence. And before we have our flag salute, can we have a moment of silence? Thank you.
Please rise and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Supervisor?
Can you join me with our nation's flag? Thank you, everyone.
We're going to move to the item number 4, which is agenda modifications, if any. I don't believe we have.
We do. We suggest we move item 8A to the end of the action discussion calendar.
Yes. Thank you. Item number 5 is public comments on agenda items. I have one, Brad and Lucian. Actually, I have a written one also. I don't know if that person's here, but we'll get to that.
Hi, Brad Anderson. I'm here with the City Bank Park. I wanted to take the opportunity on my card. Well, I wanted to speak on a few items I was going to mention, and I'm opposed to every one of them just because I won't have time under your protocol to speak on these. And this is number 7C, 7E, G, H, L, J, and KL. Anyway, and number 8A and B, I wanted to speak on those two. And just because of this protocol that you have for the meetings, I won't be able to be accommodated that pleasure of interacting with what you will find out later in your staff reports and what I won't have access to at all until then. And I have to go. I have a sick dog at home, so I got to take care of that. But yeah, on the supervisor's notes about loving Seabag, I don't think that'll ever happen. But if you regain your public participation like it used to be, maybe I can grow to love you again. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Did you have a written comment?
Yes, sir. We have an email comment from Donald Siegler. I have left a copy on everyone's chair or front area for them to look at. If you need another one, please let me know. But in summary, Mr. Siegler urges the staff to propose that such a grant would be used to study and plan for cooling centers in the Coachella Valley. He believes this is more urgent in need rather than shading and greening. And this is on item 7K on the consent.
Thank you. Any other public comments? I don't have any other cards. I don't see anybody coming forward. We'll close public comments at this time on agenda items. And we're going to move to the chair and executive director announcements. We're going to have a presentation first. And at the last Riverside County Transportation Commission was the last official meeting of Ann Mayer, who is now retiring after 18 years of service to Riverside County Transportation. First of all, to say 18 years in an organization is a lot, let alone be executive director for as long as you were. I've been one of the longer standing members of the committee since 2008, and I'm not very boisterous when it comes to issues. I usually listen. There's over 30 members of Riverside County Transportation Commission, and a lot of us know that a lot of the comments get talked about, and I kind of wait till the end. If I need to make a comment, I make a comment. But I was very fortunate during that time to serve as chair under Ann and her leadership to all the staff there at RCTC. And the leadership that she provided made it really easy to be chair during that time. I sat on the executive committee, I think, for 4 years, and it was just a real pleasure to serve with you and what you did and watching the way the projects and the money funneled down. So we wanted to say some nice things about you today. And then we know that this is this today your last day or tomorrow your last day?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow's the last day, so we wanted to drive you out when the busiest traffic in the Coachella is. So wherever you end up consulting in the future, you might know I'm joking. But we didn't plan that very well for you to get home after this event, so you might stay in the Coachella Valley and spend some tax dollars or something. But we want to say thank you to that. I want to give it over to Tom to say a few words. Anyone else from the committee?
Yeah, I appreciate that, Chair. And you and I have had a great working relationship for many years now. And I came on board a couple years after Ann started at RCTC. One of the first challenges we had, which might not seem like a challenge, is how to spend a bunch of federal money. I haven't said that in a long, long time. But you might remember the days of federal stimulus dollars.
Tiger money.
And that federal stimulus dollars, I can't remember, the county got $80 million or thereabouts. And I think most of you know I'm paid to be an advocate for the Coachella Valley. And Ann and I, when we do have disagreements, and they're very few and far between, I'm looking out for our fair share. Well, our first problem was how to spend a bunch of federal stimulus dollars, and there were a lot more projects in the Coachella Valley that were shovel-ready, and to give Ann credit, she didn't focus on where that money was going to be spent, Corona or Cathedral City. She just wanted to make sure it got spent, and we delivered those projects. And I believe the Coachella Valley got $50 million of that $80 million, more than $50 million. So we got more than our fair share, and I think that's the kind of professional you are, Ann. It's about getting the job done. Sometimes that rankles some folks. Sometimes you might have to step on a toe here and there, including mine at times. But she's a consummate professional, and it's been a pleasure to work with Ann. And RCTC and CVAG have really worked well together. And look at CV Link, all the progress there. CV Sync, which you all hear a little bit more about later in the agenda, and CV Rail. And I don't think it would betray our conversations much, Anne, to say that you and I were a little bit skeptical about whether CV Rail would come to fruition. And if it wasn't for your drive and your capable staff, we wouldn't be nearly as far as we are today, have made incredible progress. And I'm an optimist. I believe it's going to happen. And I think, Ann, you said the same. So it's been just awesome working with you. We've delivered a lot together. We do want to provide you with a gift, but as the chair pointed out, if anybody else would like to chime in, feel free.
Well,
sure.
Since everybody's being shy today, Monday, I had the pleasure of serving with Ann the last 6 years, and if you look up leader in the dictionary, you can put Ann's name right next to it. She has been a leader, great leader, and also a teacher. I want to share how I got this love for transportation over the last few years. You know, when I got elected, they're like, oh, you're going to be on this committee, you're going to be here. And I said, oh, okay, transportation, I want public safety. And so, but working with CVAG and RCTC, going all the way to Washington, D.C. to advocate for CV Rail has been such a great experience under the leadership of Ann. And for some of you who have been to Washington, D.C., it's a different pulse, moves a little faster than local. And I forget what Senator, I think it was Senator Padilla, we went to his office. And, you know, it's post COVID, so we're outside on the sidewalk, and they sent a staffer down, and myself and Supervisor Spiegel went with some staff, and staffer comes down, and the meeting has started. Well, Wayman is on local government time. So Ann looks at me and she goes, like, get him. And so that was my introduction to Washington, D.C. and how quick it moves. But it's been great working under Ann and being a big advocate for CB Rail. When we do break ground and we get that, we hope that you're standing right next to us when that project takes place, because you moved that baton in our hand along with so many other projects. All these interchanges, the 60 project was huge. That's something that's huge. And all the way to the western side of the county. So thank you and congratulations on your retirement.
Just very quickly, and obviously our colleague Wayman said very well. I don't doubt that if you haven't been already, you're going to be approached by so many others to go work for them and somewhere in the state of California. And the reason for that is because of, obviously, your expertise, your knowledge, your experiences, your wherewithal. I don't know how, I mean, nowadays folks may work in a certain location for a few years and then they move on, or things change. So I don't know how someone like yourself, you know, I guess it's like my father as well, like the generation before us will stick to a job and be very loyal to it and to an issue, like in your case, transportation, and just deal with it and go through the, get through the punches and the trenches, and at the end of the day, make something happen. They don't make folks like you anymore. And so, you know, we got some big shoes to fill, that's for sure. You will be missed. I've learned a lot from you as well. I appreciate your guidance, your direction, your openness, being nice. Some people just can't be nice. And no matter what it was, you were always cool about it. So thank you.
City Patrol.
And been on the commission about 18 years since I started, and I admire your craft, the personal traits you have at doing your job. And you know, one of the things that's very telling about a manager is the people they have behind them. And you have an excellent staff, and all of them respect you just dearly. And you've positioned them as well to take on different leadership roles, and that says a lot about a person in terms of helping people, you know, assume the next generation in a new role. So big kudos to you. I've seen you, you know, manage and negotiate the TIFIA loans and do some big, hairy, audacious goals. You know, the 91, obviously CV Rail. We're talking about a new measure as well. You're leaving us with the ball rolling in a very positive direction. I know the new executive director is going to take that and run with it. And so you are positioning us very, very well. And you have a great way of just negotiating or talking about disagreements with cities that perhaps, you know, may not view the issues the way the majority of folks view it, but I know you're always fair. And I know you're willing to continue to engage, and you've been engaging over the last course, the last few months. So we're going to miss you. You know, since you were a Caltrans director, District 8, you've known my little city out there in Coachella. You know, you've just done a great job, and congratulations. All the best to you.
Just a couple quick more comments by me. I was, again, appointed to the commission, I think, 2008, and about a year or so later, I'm up in Sacramento, and I'm walking around. There was a bar inside the hotel there that everybody usually congregates in and talks, and I'm leaving that bar, and I haven't been Civic Commission for a year, let alone how can you remember 30 plus members of your commission out here? Scott, what are you doing here? And it was Ann Mayer sitting up there in Sacramento at a conference, and to me that was huge, just for you to recognize me like that. And then John Tavoloni, who used to sit as county supervisor, said in all our performance evaluations with Ann, she could get paid triple doing what she does, and her knowledge and expertise in transportation is so important. Do whatever it takes to keep her as your director as long as you can. So those were some great comments by him at that time. And then lastly, she had a moment as we were all ending our meeting. Everyone saying nice things. The chair's getting ready to finish his comments, and she turned off the lights. This is the whole building. She didn't technically turn the lights off the whole building, but the lights went out. It was an experience that you'll never know or ever probably see again at the county administrative building, or someone didn't pay the bill. Who knows? With that said, we do have a small token of our appreciation, and then I'd like to give you a moment. I'll give you a moment to say anything, and then we'll have you come up, and I'd like to present this to you. I'll take a picture.
Great. Thank you very much. Thank you so much for such kind words. I really, really appreciate it, and I appreciate being invited out here. I can't even remember the first time I came to a CVAG meeting. I'm sure it was when I was back at Caltrans, but for so very long, I have admired the leadership in the Coachella Valley, the work that CVAG does, and the partnership, and it's been really, really important, and Supervisor, I was reflecting on your comments about the leadership of elected officials, and when people say, how did you stay in that job for so long? And what do you mean you have 33 elected officials on your board? How do you do it? And my answer was, it's the leadership of the board. That the culture of RCTC for so long has been one of regional focus, problem solving, innovation, just get it done. And that leadership from the board, the openness to staff's sometimes crazy ideas about let's go try this, and the board says go do it well, do it with, you know, financial integrity, do it with transparency to the public, but let's go see how we can do better and how we can serve all of your constituents. And I think that is the strength of Riverside County. It's the leadership of elected officials who set the stage for people like me, people like Tom, all of our teams, of the expectations are really high and we deliver. And it's because of that leadership. So that's why I've been able to stay in this job for as long as I have, is the leadership of the board and the ability to do some pretty terrific things. The future is very, very bright here in Riverside County. The commission approved the traffic relief plan last month. There's some big decisions coming up here in June, but the county is on the right track. And the projects and the programs out here are there for us to see. And it's just needing to find a productive and a financially feasible way of getting them done. So thank you all so much for your leadership. Thank you to Tom and his team for their partnership. And thank you to all of the cities and the county for our partnership too, because we wouldn't be able to get the work done that we've been doing without the leadership of elected officials. So thank you very much. And Supervisor, I am not thinking I'm going to go work for anyone else in the near future. I mean, I'm going to Mexico for a little while. So
take me with you.
I think after 40 years, I might need to take a little bit of a breather and decide what's next. But I will forever be grateful to RCTC, to our partners at CVAG, and all of the elected officials for the opportunity, and the team is ready. Aaron Hake will be an outstanding executive director of RCTC. He's got a great team behind him. I know they'll do a great job, and they'll work really well with CVAG. So thank you very much. I appreciate you all. Thank you.
Be careful when you walk through that one there.
Okay.
And however you get to Mexico, there's a bumper sticker for your car. And if you are in Mexico, there's a bicycle helmet to ride your bike with and be safe.
Great.
Can you see everybody here?
I can.
Come on in.
There we go.
What was it?
Ready? Good for you. Perfect. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Take care. Okay. I'll give you a phone call here and there.
Thank you very much.
Actually, very soon.
All right, we have limited time, so I'm going to jump ahead in the agenda. We have a couple members that are going to be leaving this meeting really quickly, so I'm going to jump ahead to, consent calendar.
Move consent.
Thank you.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Is Joey on?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Representative Joey. Move item 8B, the Regional Pavement Management Program. Jonathan?
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair, members of the committee. Sorry, don't let me wait. Still going wrong. There's a sticker I'm supposed to use. Okay, sorry about that. Let me get back. Okay. Sorry about that. So, pavement management programs are used by agencies to schedule maintenance and repairs to maximize pavement life. On the chart on the screen there, it gives you an idea of what pavement life, how it's measured. So you put down a new street, and it lasts about 25 years. On the left side of this of the chart there shows the pavement condition from very poor at the bottom to excellent, and those are usually measured from zero, from a score from 0 to 100. So after about 10 years of pavement life, you can see the red line shows the pavement condition. And after about 10 years, it drops from excellent to about good condition. And at that time, if you spent about $1 a square foot is a rough estimate to provide some kind of maintenance, some slurry, some pavement overlay, something to get the condition back up, you save a lot of money, because after that, as the time extends, the cost greatly increases as it drops the curve. And if you wait till it's poor condition, it's about 8 times that cost. So what a pavement management program does is it focuses on that time when the pavement is still good. And if you apply a treatment to the pavement, you reset the curve and it goes back up, and then you extend the life of the pavement. Right now, pavement management programs, the pavement management is the responsibility of the local agencies, the cities, the county, and the agencies use their local funds, their gas tax, their SB1 funds, to come up with a program to maintain their pavement. And throughout the years, it's those funds have really never been enough to really maintain a pavement condition at a high level, or even just a status quo. They're always trying to play catch up. Back in 2017, when the state approved the SB1 funding, that about doubled the gas tax. And even then, it's not enough to maintain that pavement condition. So what we've done is taken a more valley-wide look as far as regional streets and looked at the pavement condition on those routes. Back in 20, if you just look at those regional routes, back in 2010, the CVAG did a study. They did a pavement management analyst report. During that time, during the TPPS, the CVAG considered maybe we proposed something on pavement management. So we looked at that. And it was over 350 miles of streets, and at a $2 million per mile replacement, that was over $840 million worth of investment in all our agencies into regional roads. So it was a pretty big investment. We looked at establishing the pavement condition at each of these, in all the regional streets throughout all the agencies. But at the time, it was never acted on. I think when the 2010 TPPS was finalized, there was more focus on getting Project Shovel ready to compete for program funds, state and federal, and so there wasn't a money established for pavement management. So what CVAGs would like to do is to update the study. We would like to do two things. Number one, go out and remeasure, update the analysis, look at all the regional roads. That'll establish a common apples-to-apples comparison of what the pavement condition index or pavement condition is on all the regional roads throughout all the streets. And then, secondly, to come up with some policy recommendations on implementing a regional pavement management program. That would certainly come back to the committees for review. Staff would work with the public works directors and engineers of each of the member agencies to come up with some different ideas, criteria, something like how do we determine what set of regional roads are included in a pavement management program, a certain average daily traffic, number of lanes, pavement condition, significance of the road. So we would come up with some recommendations and bring it back to the committee. So for tonight, the request is to authorize the update of the pavement management study that was done in 2011. We estimate that will be about $250,000 budget to update that. We've already reached out and received two proposals to update that. They came in today. Staff will review them, and we are going to agendize that for the Transportation Committee meeting, and then you'll see it back next month on the Executive Committee to award that to a particular whichever consultant we are recommending. And then secondly, we'll bring back to a future meeting some recommendations on a pavement management program as a whole. And that completes my report, and I can answer questions.
Thank you. Questions?
I'd like to make a motion for approval.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any more comments? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Joey?
Yes, sir. Aye.
All right. Unanimous. All right. We're going to move to item 8C, next steps for the Arts and Music Line project. Randy?
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you. We're here today requesting authorization for a design contract amendment for the Arts and Music Line project. This project will be serving the cities of Coachella, Indio, La Quinta, unincorporated county, and two of our tribal members, and provide a regional connection to our super regional project, the CV Link. Design has been underway on the project. It's a federal aid project. If you recall, CVAG received $36.5 million of ATP funding for this project last year, and design is very much underway. As we get into the details, the cities, the county, and our other stakeholders have identified opportunities and needs for the project, such as when we're introducing a two-way cycle track along Avenue 48, there's a need to ensure that we have safe crossings for the users of that cycle track. And so we've added some additional traffic signals along the way in the project. Additionally, we are working through several issues with Coachella Valley Water District on the crossing of the project that runs along the La Quinta evacuation channel and through the intersection of Jefferson and Highway 111. To name a few, we have made a lot of great progress on the project. We are at the 90% completion of the plans right now. We just concluded a meeting with all of our agency partners on reviewing the plans just a couple of weeks back. And looking ahead for this year, we're anticipating receiving clearance on our right-of-way, on our NEPA documents, in July. And so we can begin our right-of-way acquisition as early as the day after we get our NEPA approval, which, of course, for federal projects, that's a substantial step. So the amendment that's before you today, oh, I got ahead of my animation. I'm so sorry. The recommendation for you today is twofold. One, to authorize the amendment number three for the contract in the amount of a little over $2 million. and then also to negotiate and execute the cost reimbursement agreements with the three cities. I'm here to answer any questions you may have.
Before we get started, just for the record, Rich Moore did have to leave, and the county supervisor did have to leave, but that's stepping in for the county. Any questions?
I guess at what point will we have the opportunity to have a presentation by CVAG at a council meeting on the design of progress as kind of a short thing to keep it top of mind for the residents and remind people that there was an ATP grant?
Absolutely. Very good question, and I think we actually Brian McKinney asked if we would be present when your city council would consider the amendment.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe we can time it with that presentation.
Absolutely.
Each of the city councils does it a little bit differently. We'd be happy to schedule a full presentation. We could also come back at another time and give you an update with pretty pictures and next steps.
Sometimes a pretty picture update in the beginning, and then if this is on a business item, it just helps it.
Yeah, all right.
Public understand.
Consider it done.
Very good.
Great. Anyone else? All right, accept the motion.
Move approval.
Move approval. Second.
The motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Joey?
Yes.
Unanimous. Item 8D, construction contract award with Granite Construction for CV Link multimodal transportation corridor project, segment 6, project number CVL-2024-001A.
Hello again. This is for CV Link segment 6. Just a review, we completed the sections in Palm Desert and Cathedral City, Palm Springs. Segment 1 and 2 are finishing up construction, some portions in Palm Springs and La Quinta and Dr. Coachella. Last in December of 2023, we awarded segments 3, 4, and 5, which was the northern part of Palm Springs, and then the section between Indio and Coachella, which is mostly tribal, on tribal property. And now this is segment 6, which completes the areas in Cathedral City connecting to both the Palm Canyon Wash and the Whitewater Wash. It's about 6 miles worth of improved pathway with a number of amenities, as you've seen throughout the CV Link program. We went out to bid in March for this project. We received 2 bids. The staff reviewed the bids and determined that the lowest responsible bidder was Granite. We including with the contingency, the amount to award for the segment 6 is on the agenda today, $21.56 million. And we are, let me just back up for a second. So also I wanted to give you an update. This is actually for 3, 4, and 5. One of the holdups completing the improvements connecting La Quinta to Indio was this undercrossing underneath the UPR, the railroad there on Indio Boulevard. And just last Friday, we received the right-of-way certification from Caltrans, so now we're releasing this to construction. So just wanted to update the group. But going back to segment 6, we are recommending approval of the $21 million, which also includes the 10% contingency.
One quick question, please. Cathedral City, what you said connected from where to where?
Oh, there's two sections, there's two extensions. So that the splinter there that winds off to the south that connects to South Palm Springs, that's actually the Palm Canyon Wash. And then on the northern piece goes the Whitewater Channel. So that'll extend up to Ramon Road, where the existing piece to connect to that goes along between Ramon Road and Vista Chino.
Okay, thank you. So, Mayor, we started in your city and we're going to finish on your city. It's been a while. Thank you.
Any other comments? Entertain a motion?
Move approval.
Second. A motion and a second. Any other comments? See none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Joey?
Yes.
Thank you. Wait, so he says yes before I say anyone opposed. All right, moving too fast here. But I believe it was a yes. Item 8E is a contract amendment with Ulta Planning and Design for CV Link.
Yes, Altus has been is the original contractor that we or consultant that we hired back in 2014. They've doing the design of CV length and for our whole program. And we've asked them from time to time to do some additional work. Things have come up as things changed out in the field. And that's what this is, authorization for some additional work. In Palm Desert, because of the CVWD's project there just east of Cook Street, we're having to do some redesign for that connection. In Palm Springs, they're still helping us receive the encroachment permit from Caltrans that's near the tramway road. And then in Indio, we were working, they helped us work to get this permit from the railroad. And then in Coachella, they're helping us with connecting CV Link to some some community connectors. So we're recommending a $334,000 additional work amendment for Alta.
Comments? Questions?
What was the financial difference if it was less than transportation? Not on that. It just shows that it was presented.
Oh,
it's amount is higher than what was presented.
Yes. We had added some additional tests for them. It was 287, I believe, or 294, actually. It was 294 at transportation. And since then, in reviewing some work and some, that we need to do for Caltrans, we just needed an update on hydrology study and do some other work. So we increased the authorization. But this is time and materials. If we don't need them, we won't pay for it.
Questions, comments, motion?
Move approval.
Second.
Andy up on desert. All those in favor say aye.
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 Joey?
Yes, yes.
Anybody opposed? Passes. We're going to go back to 8A. I'll give it to our executive director first.
Yeah, I'll provide a little bit of background. We'll give you a short before and after presentation on CV Sync. Just to remind everybody, the first phase of CV Sync, signal synchronization throughout the Coachella Valley, is complete and operational. That first phase is Highway 111, Ramon Road, and Washington Street. And Chris is going to give you a little taste of what we're doing out there on Ramon Road. And before he does that, I just want to mention that for those of you that get up early, I guess it might even play throughout the day, and you watch on KMIR, we do have a TV star in the making, and Chris. We partnered with KMIR to provide essentially traffic updates for the local community and construction updates. And one motivation from your staff here on doing so, it'll help us reach out to all of you, your staff, your public information officers, and make sure we're all on the same page about construction and knowing construction in advance and doing a better job. I think we do a reasonably good job in the Coachella Valley, but we could do a better job on coordinating construction across the Coachella Valley, particularly before, during, and after these big events. So for those of you, get up again, check out Chris every Monday morning, right, Chris?
Monday morning at about 6:30.
All right.
And my T-shirts and books are back there. Just so before I hit this button, just want to get everybody up to speed. It's going to move fast. Otherwise, it would be a five-minute video. Every time the screen turns red on the particular item, that means you're stopped at a red light. This is the westbound version of Ramon Road. There's different versions of this. We've simplified it a little bit because it was very, very busy. Tom got a headache the first time he looked at it. And then I'll show you some statistics at the very end. So without further ado, on your marks, get set, and go. Now, as we're entering into the area of Rancho Mirage, there's not too much out there, so it's everybody stays pretty neck and neck there. And then as we get into the Cathedral City and Palm Springs area, you'll start seeing a big difference. This is actually the way my wife drives.
We want
that. There we go. So as you can see, that this is our first pass at synchronizing Ramon Road. And with that, we reduce the number of stops by six. We reduce the stoppage time of where people are sitting at a red light by 3 minutes and 36 seconds, and reduce the entire travel time by over 5 minutes. So we did a pretty good job. We're continuing to work on it almost every month, continuing to refine. We're dealing with some construction projects right now, Ramon Road. Stay tuned for next Monday. We're also doing this to all of the phase one corridors. We're going through and we're refining, making some adjustments. The tools that the phase one project has given us is very, very cool, I will say. That's the technical term, very cool. A lot of neat analytical tools and a lot of powerful software that allows us to really monitor and look at the signals and see where we can actually benefit. And I have just a couple of seconds for questions, I think.
Questions? Comments?
If you don't mind. We're, of course, under construction on another 20 corridors. So if you see crosstown trucks at your intersections, you know they're working on that intersection. I believe we've got a couple of those corridors that are almost live or operational now. This time next year, a lot more will be. And certainly in 18 months, we'll probably have 90% of the major arterials in the Coachella Valley hooked up to the system. It is really awesome, and it has a lot of capability, particularly for special events. And we're going to be, this is another city council opportunity and education opportunity. One of the things that will happen is people are going to complain about making a left turn onto Highway 111, because we're not going to let them make a left turn and stop 100 cars. So you have to show some patience, and your constituents will. But once they get onto Highway 111 or Ramon Road, they'll save 5 minutes and five stops. So it's going to be continuous public education campaign, certainly on that, and we'll certainly get some complaints along the way. But I've heard, incidentally, that people are having a better time driving along Highway 111. Hopefully you're hearing the same thing.
And it's also very nice, I might add, that we have been cooperating with Ranch Mirage and meshing the two systems. So
you don't have to be nice to him.
He's not here.
But, Chairman, from a quality of life standpoint, I think this does amazing work. And then from the quality of our visitors that visit us, which, what are we at now, $9 billion of tourism here, there's a really good experience that's happening in the Coachella Valley, and this past 3 weeks was a good example of how things flowed in and out. If we could fix the freeway, it would be a little better.
We were able to utilize Jefferson this year with Coachella and Stagecoach as part of the CV Sync system, which was fantastic. And we were able to get most everybody out of the venue onto the freeway in about 3.5 hours. And, of course, it made the freeway a mess, but we got people off our streets, and I think people would much rather sit on the freeway than at a red light. So.
All right. It's just a presentation.
Just informational, so there's no action to be taken at this time. We're going to move to item number 9, it's informational items. You can talk to Tom offline on those if you need to. Item number 10 is legislative update. Do we have anybody from the league or just Emmanuel?
Just Emmanuel.
Thanks for pointing that out. Jesse. They're prestigious. Is that better?
Oh, makes me feel better. Thank you so much. We'll get Jesse back before you next meeting. He did report out a couple bills, and I'll mention them in my report to you today. So I'm going to give you a quick legislative update, hit some high points. As most of you already know, one of the big issues that the state of California is grappling with is the over $68 billion deficit. One of the things that we're doing is keeping track of programs that may be impacted. So we've been, through political group, our state advocacy team, keeping a close eye on budget subcommittees and those hearings, and making sure that programs that are important to CVAG or member agencies are not impacted, and if they are, that we're advocating for them. One of the major programs, for instance, that we've been taking lead on is the REAP 2.0 program. As you all recall, reported that there's $19.4 million in projects here in the Coachella Valley alone. The REAP program is to reduce VMT, do infill housing, and so it's a very important program running for the state. but also for our region. We do have an ally in Senator Padilla out of San Diego who represents our area. He sits on one of the budget subcommittees, and we've been leaning on him to strongly advocate for the REAP 2.0. In conversations that political group has had with the governor's office, they seem to indicate that that REAP program may still be on the table come May revise, which is the next thing we're going to keep a close eye on as we reach mid-May to see what the governor's proposal comes and what gets negotiated until they have to approve a final budget in June. So just want to give you a quick update there on the budget. And, of course, I just want to mention that programs that are have committed funds to our projects, such as Arts and Music Line, those are not impacted. So we're good there. So we're keeping a close eye on those projects. Legislatively, on that front, there's a number of bills that we've taken action on in line with our approved legislative platform. One is AB 2535 by Assemblymember Bonta. That is a continuation of, you may recall last year, Laura Friedman, who was really trying to tie a local control over use of transportation funds and tying the use of those funds to environmental goals at the state that, although laudable, really don't apply to us, as they were trying to brush a broad paintbrush with these programs. One of these main things for us is making sure we have the ability to fund capacity enhancement projects. As you know, we're way behind in terms of those type of projects and infrastructure to address transportation needs. They might apply in more urban areas like Los Angeles, but not here in the Coachella Valley. So we did submit an opposed letter on that bill. Also, AB 2261, just wanted to highlight that. That is being authored by Assemblymember Garcia, and it's being sponsored by the 29 Palm Bands of Mission Indians. And important project that's tied to that is the Dillon Road Bridge. That bill, essentially what it would do would give the tribe capacity to be a lead agency on that project. So that bill did get out of appropriations last week. We did submit a letter of support. It's on the assembly floor on consent. I don't think they got to it today, but as soon as it gets out, we'll keep supporting it out in the Senate as well. And just a couple other bills, one important to our East Valley City, served by IID, AB 3198, by Assemblymember Garcia. I just got a text now that that bill is on consent in Assembly Local Government on May 1st, so which is a really good sign. So we're keeping tabs on that and continue to support that legislation, which essentially removes a barrier for Coachella Valley Water District and the county to enter into a joint powers agreement for retail electrical services. So we're going to keep an eye on that. And then Jesse did give me a couple updates on some housing bills. One is ARENA related bill. HCD just came out with a report, and there's been a number of interest by legislators on housing issues. One bill is AB 1886 by Alvarez, which would remove the city's ability to self-certify their housing elements, and also SB 1037 by Wiener, which would impose fines for cities that are out of compliance with their housing elements. So those just got on our radar. We'll be working with Cal Cities closely on that to align our positions. So just lastly, legislative deadlines that are coming up. May 17th is the last day for fiscal committees to hear and report bills, and May 24th is the House of Origin deadline. So at a high level, just wanted to give you that update. Happy to answer any questions you have.
Any questions for the Honorable Mr. Martinez? I don't see any. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That said, we'll go to public comments on non-agendized items. We did have Brent Anderson that wanted to comment. Do you want to fill in for him? With nobody else getting up, coming to the podium, our announcements are: next executive committee meeting will be held on Monday, June 3rd at 4:30 p.m. for the conference room. We are adjourned.
Good job, Chairman.